Welcome to Rebooted Season 2. I'm Andrew, former film major, now a director of marketing.
I'm Jessica, former film major, now a barista.
I'm Mike, former film major, now I... Well, there goes that government job.
I'm Rob, former film major, now a creative manager.
And I'm Jake. I still like movies, and I sell stuff.
Jake, but okay. Welcome to Season 2 of Rebooted. To start off Season 2, we watched the movie that inspired this whole podcast, Invasion of Those Bad Boy Body Snitchers.
Yeah, because Bad Boy Body Snitchers is the name of the movie.
To start off this podcast, I want to tell you all a joke.
Oh, gosh.
So what is the difference between a piano, a tuna, and a pot of glue?
You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
What?
You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
You can tune a piano, but you can't piano a tuna.
But what's the glue got to do with anything?
I knew you'd get stuck on that, Jake.
I knew it was coming, and I'm still.
I think the more amused. Important question here is: it rat turds or capers?
Oh, that's so capers. Gross.
Capers.
Then you'll
eat it. Eat it.
I'm just dumb enough to try.
He said it with such conviction, and then he wouldn't try it.
Wait, so what's the difference with the glue?
We're back to the joke. Come on.
He already did the part of the joke.
Yeah, that
he
was
said
the
you got
joke.
Stuck on that.
You got stuck on it.
Oh, that went over my head.
Most things do, Jake. Most things do.
How is that funnier than the joke?
Right. Well, so that was a little bit of fun here to kick off our episode. Maybe I'll start every episode with a joke, or maybe not. We'll see. We'll see how people like that. In the meantime, though, Jess, why don't you give us a sweet, sweet alien summary?
When an alien life form starts taking over people's bodies, leaving them emotionless shells of their former selves, a group of people band together to try to stop the alien invasion of the body snatchers.
Snitches.
Snitchers.
Snitches get snatched.
Snitches get turned into pot people.
So I kind of titillated this in the intro, but this was the movie that inspired Jessica to come up with this podcast. So I don't want to just throw that out there and have it be like random trivia that no one's ever going to know. So Jess, fill our earballs with the story on how you came up with Rebooted.
Okay, so this actually happened when The Invasion came out. This is around 2007. Andrew actually used to work at Family Video, and one of the perks of working there was when a new release came into the store, they could rent it out before it hit the shelves. And I'm pretty sure The Invasion was one of the films that he was able to rent right away, and he rented it. And I don't think he watched it with me, but like I watched it. And I had never seen the 1956 or the 1978 Invasion of the Body Snatchers, so I didn't know what to expect. Watched the film. It was a dumb film, but you know, I watched it. It had the happy ending, and I was like, oh, okay, so it ends with everything being okay. And then just a few years ago, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, I think, was on HBO or something. And I was like, you know, this is a classic. I've never seen it before. Let's sit down and watch it. And so I'm watching it and, you know, expecting the whole time for it to be a happy ending. And then they go to the warehouse where he sets it on fire and they're all done. I'm like, and then he meets up with Nancy at the end. And you're like, oh, okay, like he did it. They've stopped everybody. They're going to stop the invasion. It's all good. And then he shrieks at her. And I was shocked. My mouth, like my jaw dropped. I was like, and even though that's like an iconic scene that, you know, like probably a lot of people have seen, the, you know, the him pointing and shrieking in some sort of pop culture medium. Like I know that, but I didn't realize that was the end of the film. And so I'm watching, I was like, what the heck? I had no idea that this was the ending. And it got me thinking about you know, movie remakes and how, you know, that was such a classic film, even though that itself was a remake and it had that such an iconic ending. And then they remade it and it just did not have that same flair. And I was like, that's just so crazy how like all how the 1978 one wasn't itself a remake and it was so good. And then they remade it again. And it was so bad. And so that got me inspired to make the rebooted podcast.
And here we are.
And here we are.
And here you all are listening. So to season two. So we made it through one season at least before ever touching on the story, which is truly bonkers. We probably should have watched this in our first episode, but we went with something, I guess, a little more modern or a little more wild. What was our first episode? Deep Impact?
Yeah.
Oh, I joke. Well, moving on from that, let's go over to Jake, who I believe was about ready to drop some big old differences on us between these two movies.
Yeah, well, actually, the first thing I had to say is I got a bone to pick with 1978. You know, they were remaking Bodies, like fully remaking Bodies. And there's that one point where it's the camera and it's their feet as they're kind of running away. And there's a dude that only has one leg. And then he starts chasing him. So clearly, they remade this dude, but they didn't give him a leg back. Like, why? They have the capability.
They're trying to blend in. So if you take some guy that doesn't have a leg, and suddenly he's got a leg, people are going to be like, what the shit, man?
But how would you like to be the alien that snatches that body or the body of an old frail person who's still using a walker?
Listen,
like, man, they have it's a brand new body.
But Mike, how do you explain the dog man?
Yeah.
That was amazing.
That is nightmare fuel. That's what that is.
It made me think of Sarah Jessica Parker in Mars Attacks.
The dog man was the only good part of that movie. I was very impressed with the graphics there for being 1978.
I was watching the movie in bed, and my wife was kind of watching and not. She was like kind of in and out on like her phone or whatever, and then she looked up and I'm watching this scene play out, and then I just hear her say, is that a person's face on that dog? I'm just like, yeah, truly terrifying.
Even though that was cool, it didn't make sense because how many people would have been like combined sleeping next to their partners? Like, why? Like, is it because they didn't have the dog DNA like totally done? But it's like you have like all these people that are sleeping in the same bed and they're not like weird conglomerates of each other.
It was like the fern or the little like tendrils accidentally touched the dog and his owner at the same time.
Another thing about 1978. So I saw it was PG, and so I started watching it with my son.
Oh, no!
Jake!
Yeah, he's got to learn about boobies sometime.
Oh, no. And then there's just, like, naked bodies everywhere.
Yep.
And they didn't leave anything to the imagination.
Oh, no.
And at the end, she's literally just walking around with her top off. How is that PG?
So if you go to IMDb and you scroll down to the storyline section, the first tag says female nudity.
Although HBO says brief nudity, which is usually butts. So.
I was like, that word brief is doing a little bit of lying there, because brief.
She was walking through the entire thing.
No, Rob, she was in her briefs.
Ah, yes. Was she?
Getting into the actual differences of the movies, besides boobies in one and boobies not in the other one. In the original, the aliens create new bodies with the use of pods, which we kind of talked about, brand new bodies. Whereas in the second one, it's just kind of like a viral infection in the head where they just take over people in REM sleep.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they took the time to like really give an explanation for it. And they were like, and I don't know enough about the brain to know if there's like white matter and gray matter, or if they just made all that up whole cloth. But like they even had like a form of chicken pox as an explanation, again, potentially completely made up. But it was interesting that they spent the time to really build like this quote unquote plausible explanation. And then were like, and this is how we're going to create a cure or create a thing around it. And it was kind of nice because so many times in these kind of films, like you see like, like in zombie movies where they're like, we're going to cure the zombies after this is all over. You're like, yeah, but they've been eating people and things like this. At least in this movie, they were like going about their normal lives, eating like normal packaged vegetables and things at the dinner table. They weren't like gnawing on each other's flesh. So,
and they didn't remember any of it.
Yeah. Now, they did have that weird like stuff they were spitting up, so that might have left some weird taste in their mouth and some
That was disgusting. But, yeah.
So one thing with the alien pods, so the movie starts and the little flowers, they're like super tiny. And over the course of one night, her boyfriend gets remade by that little pod that was sitting next to her. I just don't understand how the body came out of the little pod, but then later they're giant pods. So another reason why the 1978 was an inferior movie.
But no, but you do...
Was it?
You say an inferior... Oh my gosh, Shane.
Was it?
But you see that... You see when they, like, come out that they wilt and kind of just, like, you know, the pods wilt. And he was cleaning up. The next morning, he cleaned up where the pod stuff was.
Yeah, but how did it go from being conservation of mass here. It went from being a tiny 2-inch flower to being a giant man.
You don't know how dense that flower was.
They picked it up, Mike.
But you don't know how it ended up in the end because he had cleaned it up and taken it straight to the garbage truck.
It was in a cup. And the only reason the cup fell over, so he's cleaning up the glass.
Where does a tree's mass come from when you plant a seed, Jake?
Nutrients in the ground.
Right.
Nutrients in the ground. So this it was in a cup.
It's pulling nutrients from somewhere, Jake.
It's pulling nutrients from the people.
Yeah, it's pulling them from the body of the people.
It's an alien life form. It doesn't follow the same rules.
It was small. Until it fits the plot that they go and they pick up a pod to go and convert their family.
Yeah, but look at Alien. Look how tiny the xenomorph starts out after it bursts out of the chest, and then it's huge.
But they set the precedent that it was small, and then later in the movie, they're big, and the bodies are birthed out of it. And it's the same thing, it's just a bigger version of it, and the bodies are birthed out of it.
What if they start small with, like, rapidly growing, like, sleeper cells, and then the pods get bigger over time as the invasion gets more bold and...
But her boyfriend was converted in one night with the little one.
Right.
Now, not to give it too much of a thought here, because realistically, what we're talking about here is it's just a plot point, right? It's just the way the writers wrote it. But you know, maybe you could make an argument that it's like a form of metamorphosis where like it starts out as this you know, small being, this small immature being, and that's what it needs to kind of seed and start, but it can't continue to do processing or changing that way, or you know, maybe the initial one is this highly saturated form, and then once it gets such a beachhead, it can utilize a weaker form or something.
Well, and you know, I do think that that he was, you know, kind of one of the like leaders, so he might have been different than what eventually comes out of the pods that they carry. Because even in the remake, you know, it seemed like her ex-husband was the one that was like kind of the leader of all the aliens. So I'm sure, like, you know, they're like, you know, there are some of them that were like leaders that came out of the tiny pods, and then they all met up together and, you know, planned the invasion, and that's where the big pods come in. So, like, you know, they're inferior.
Actually, I'd like to dive into that a little bit, because that was one thing I thought was interesting about the remake as opposed to the original. Like, in the remake, it definitely felt like there wasn't, like, this communal, like network, like, Borg collective. You know, like, the first the original movie had, like, this Borg collective where they all knew where everything was, and they were constantly, like, instantly knew everything. But in the new one, it was like if you just walked and looked stoic, or like they had like talked to each other even. You know, it was like he was there meeting with, chatting with his pals and whatnot. So it was interesting that they like took a little different approach to it. Like the aliens just converted the people, and then they were like this self-contained docility as opposed to like a collective docility, if that's a word.
So what I was actually thinking was on HBO, they have got the picture for the movie, and it's like the flower inside the rib cage. So what I originally thought was happening was the flower was basically like climbing in his mouth and then going down and, you know, taking over from like that. But then they show the big pods, and none of that makes any sense then.
Again, unless that's the first initial form, like it's like that's the in between form it has to get to seed onto a planet. So like once it does it in him, he can spread his seed ever. let's try that.
He spreads his seed.
After that, he can spread his. After that. After that, he can spread his. I can't say the word his. Mark.
They can spread the seeds.
Yes. After that, they just spread seeds around, and the seeds are a lesser form, yeah. Less potent form that they use to convert mass.
Also,
population.
Let's not forget, Jake, that the aliens, the flowers that you're talking about, first arrived on the planet as goopy egg whites. So.
True.
Okay.
So it just evolves. I think it just evolves.
Yeah.
No,
it's just rapid evolution.
They're spores. It's just a spore. That's all.
Yeah.
Or that's just what it does. Metamorphosis is more like it, but it's like a spore. It's a fungus. It attaches to things, and then where on our planet it grows into a mushroom. Wherever it came from, it does this like flowery thing.
Well, except that there is an inherent difference there, Jake, because a flower by its nature absorbs energy externally, or it creates its energy from an external energy source like the sun, right? That's photosynthesis. But the principles of why a flower would exist, even if it's an alien flower versus like a mushroom versus a mushroom absorbs its energy from the surface it's connected to. Right? And it doesn't absorb any outside energy. That's why mushrooms grow in the dark.
Unless it's not actually a flower.
And what would be the point of the leafy vininess? That's to just absorb the leaf. Photosynthesis.
It's a colorful leaf.
Needless to say, we're not scientists here. We're not biologists. We're not botanists. We're not Mark Watney. So we cannot answer how alien organisms would live on Earth other than how we would choose to write the story ourselves. So moving on, Jess, did you have some differences, trivia and or fan service for me?
Okay, I do. So, okay, just, we didn't mention this earlier, but we do understand that there is a 1950s movie, but because of the inspiration, we're just focusing on the 1978 and 2007 films. Having said that, so the man that runs around and, like, you know, stops in the car and it's like, they're coming, you're next, blah, blah, blah. And he's, like, yelling and screaming at people, telling them the aliens are basically here. That is Kevin McCarthy, and he played the main character in the original 1956 Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So I thought that was interesting, because then in the invasion, the woman, Wendy, who, you know, she comes in and she's like, my husband's not my husband. And she ended up being immune, but that doesn't really go anywhere. She played Nancy in the original film. So I thought that was interesting that they had people come back for the subsequent sequels. And, you know, she's playing a character that's kind of in the original, because in the original, there was a woman that was like, my husband's not my husband. Because they recognized that they're not their loved ones. But, so speaking of Veronica Cartwright, who was, you know, in that one, they didn't tell her in the original, in Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Like, only Donald Sutherland, the director, and someone else, I forget who it was, knew that about the ending where he was going to be a pod person. And so when he turns and shrieks at her, her reaction is genuine. And if you remember the film Alien, who she was also in, her reaction in that was genuine, because she didn't know that the facehugger was gonna, or the xenomorph was gonna jump out of the chest. It's like, what are these directors doing to this poor woman? They're putting her in these films, and then they are not just telling traumatizing her what's gonna happen. They're traumatizing her.
Like, her natural reactions are her best reactions.
Yeah, we're just going to scare her. Also, thanks for stealing my trivia, Jess.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Can't believe Rob. You. It's not. Oh. It's not in the thing. So
yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's not in the document, Rob. So
it's right here.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your name.
Tell me. It's not. I'm sorry. Document.
I'm sorry.
This isn't Nom. There are rules.
You're out of your element, Rob.
But another really amazing, you know, mainstay of the 70s film culture was Robert Duvall. He's in the movie for one scene, and he's really only in it because of happenstance. He knew the director, and he was filming. He was filming close by, and so they had him be that priest who's swinging on the swing set, really as kind of a foreshadowing of kind of the weird, stoic, emotionless pod people that we would see later. But he's not even credited in it, but obviously when you go and you watch the scene now, you're like, oh, there's Robert Duvall.
Yeah, I was even watching, I was like, is that Robert Duvall? I had to look it up, because I was like, why is he just being so creepy?
He's staring very creepy at people.
And he's just swinging, like, in a priest robe. And you're like, what is happening?
I think that makes it a lot worse. It's just not, yeah.
It's outside of a Catholic school, and he's playing with the kids at recess. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
Should have phrased that differently.
Yep.
And then kind of on a very unrelated note, in The Invasion, the 2007 film, Daniel Craig is in it, and this is like right before he does James Bond, but he found out that he got to do James Bond during this while he was filming, and then he ends up being in Casino Royale with Jeffrey Wright, who's always our favorite low-voiced science explainer. And he was the scientist who kind of figured everything out with the vaccines and whatnot.
And he was like a baby in this.
He was beardless, which was very weird to me. I don't feel like I've ever seen him without a beard. But he was really good in this. I really loved him as trying to keep Nicole Kidman's character calm near the end when he's coming to get her in the helicopter. Although it has one of the weirdest moments is when they're in the helicopter and Nicole Kidman's character is just driving down the highway or down this downtown street as fast as she can. And then she gets into one of the duplicates or whatever you want to call these guys, these aliens. One of them like lights a Molotov cocktail and throws it at the car. And Jeffrey Wright's response is, oh, no. Just very deadpan, and I was like, that seems like a weird response, and that feels like a directorial misstep where the director was just say oh no, you can't see what's happening, you have no frame of reference for what's going on in this scene, what's happening to Nicole Kidman. And so he's like, the guy just threw a Molotov out of the car, and so Jeffrey Wright's like, oh no.
Speaking of, though, him getting her in the helicopter, so she gets in the helicopter, she knows that she's infected. Mm-hmm. Why is she going with them? Like, she hasn't slept in how many days? She's already fallen asleep, like, pretty much a couple times. Like, they're not going to get the cure by the like, when they get there, what are they going to, did they, like, detain her the whole time? Like, is she just in a padded room? Because if anybody comes near her, she's going to, like, spit throw up on them and infect them. So like, they're lucky that she didn't, like, you know, this could have been like the end of 28 weeks later where it's like, oh, everything's fine, nope, we have a person that's actually infected, we're gonna infect the whole world again. It's like, she should not have gotten on that helicopter. Just put your son on and stay there. Like, Daniel Craig must just ooze charisma in real life, because if he auditioned for James Bond and got the role with that haircut that he has in this film, like, how? Seriously. And they said that he had to step away from shooting to go do the press release. Like, I remember people were like, Daniel Craig's James Bond? That makes no sense. That's going to be terrible. Now, look, if he had that haircut at the press release, yeah, no wonder, because that was a terrible haircut. That looked so weird.
So another thing I thought was interesting between these movies is that in Invasion of the Body Snatchers in 1978, Czechoslovakia was a country. In 2006, in the invasion, Czechoslovakia was not a country. So what's going on there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight up. Very confused. That was my whole time with that Russian ambassador. As soon as he said something about Czechoslovakia being a doormat, I was like, what year is this? What year is this supposed to be? How does he not know it's not a country anymore? If it's been 2007, it hadn't been a country for like 15 years at that point. That was my whole movie after that.
Maybe it still takes place in 1978.
This geopolitical inaccuracy
was
really
on the computer screen.
Really ruined
the TV screen. But yes, anyway, so I thought that was interesting because, like, of all of the like Baltic states / Eastern European countries that they could have picked, they picked the one that wasn't a country anymore. Yeah. Like, it was bizarre.
I just read the wrong Wikipedia article when they were writing.
they had old Encyclopedia Britannica, the book still. They're flipping through the pages. Oh, let's see, huh? Just a story about encyclopedias. When I was growing up, my grandfather gave us a set of encyclopedias. And in it, not only was Germany still two different countries, but John F. Kennedy was still alive. We hadn't been to the moon yet.
But we're going to get there.
It was still a mysterious object in space. Oh yeah, it was just funny, like being like, because like, you know, you'd use them for school for reference and stuff, and you'd be like, should I really legitimately be using this for reference, because this stuff is old. So like, it was always like the thing that was kind of funny with like, with Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, the TV show, they'd be like, and you'll win this copy of Encyclopedia Britannica, and you're like, great, for 5 years that'll be valuable. If that.
Yeah, well, that's why the show ended. They kept having to up the funding every month.
You shut your drunk mouth. That was an amazing show, and I loved it.
Oh, I loved it, too.
You know the worst part about it, Mike, is they will never air reruns because they're like, yeah, the information's wrong now. I'm like, why? What? It was so amazing.
Just put a disclaimer in front of it.
Yeah.
They even had to do that in episodes from the time they filmed it to the time they aired it, because things changed in that time. They had to say, at the time of recording, this information was correct.
Stupid geopolitical politics.
Just like, censor them.
Just like Czechoslovakia.
And then it's just like, changes the name. Just dub over everything.
Legitimately, though, why do they not have that show out now for kids? Like, they've got freaking Wipeout. But they don't got Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Why did you pick Wipeout?
Unnecessary shade at Wipeout.
That's a show for adults. Like, you're comparing it to a show for kids.
The
like,
floor
I don't
is
understand.
Lava.
Hey, quality entertainment there.
Great British Bake Off.
To be fair, Netflix does have a Carmen Sandiego show, but it's a cartoon.
Yeah,
that's
it's a
not
cartoon.
A...
I'm talking about a game show for kids where they can win Encyclopedia Britannicas.
Because they don't make those anymore.
If they did it now, they get a year subscription to Wikipedia.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they win at Wikipedia.com.
They're like, you get this 20 disc set.
Hey, now be careful, Jess. I support Wikipedia with my financials, and I'm an editor on Wikipedia. So,
Mr. Fancy Pants over here.
Hey, Wikipedia, the only encyclopedia that's got a longer article about a lightsaber than it does the Gutenberg printing press.
Oh, man. It just takes longer to explain things that aren't real.
Humanity. Yeah, I'm sure that's the reason why, Rob.
They're like, you know, the thing. It printed stuff. And
you could move parts of it.
Yeah, movable type.
You know, it was made out of a flash.
Fancy and shit.
You're like, well, you see, is the crystal was made from Kyber.
They spent hours forging these crystals of evil. Wait, is that canon or new canon?
It's canon. That's all you need to know.
There's three different links on different types of canon. All right.
that's like looking at any Star Wars wiki or Star Trek wiki now. It's like, is this like original canon or the new canon or the new Discovery canon or the J.J. Abrams canon? It's like, oh my gosh, just get me out of here. All right. All that being said, Jess, tell me a little bit about the ratings of these movies.
Yeah, it's so, you know, the 1978 film is considered one of the best remakes in entire film history, like up to this day. And The Invasion has a 20% score on Rotten Tomatoes, which is funny because even Robbie, like, he sent a screenshot of the, like, the fact that it had a 20%, and he's like, oh no.
Oh dear.
That was before I started watching it. I watched the 1978 version the night before, and I was like, oh, I enjoyed that. And then I clicked rent on Apple TV, and then I'm like, oh, maybe I should go look. And I went on IMDb just to see if I could see the list of like stuff, and it was like 20% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Like, yes, this movie was like, why in the pharmacy? This is such a stupid nitpick, but it like bothered me so bad. Why is the fridge full of 2 liter Mountain Dews? Like, that's not a thing. Like, why isn't it filled with 20 ounces? It makes no sense. Those are huge.
Yeah.
And like, Walgreens sells 20 liter.
20 liters?
20 liters? 20 liters of pop at Walgreens?
No, Walgreens sells 2 liters.
Not in the fridge. It not does. Like a whole case of it. It's not making the entire fridge.
Even if they did, they wouldn't have it.
20 liter is like the baby size from Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Even if they did have the 2 liters, though, Jake, to Jess's point, they wouldn't have them at eye level. Like, they would be on the bottom.
And it wouldn't fill the entire fridge.
And you usually shelve 2 liters. Like,
are you really going to nitpick the movie because they grabbed a 2 liter?
It was dumb.
That's some real nitpickiness.
Isn't that what we're doing in this podcast?
Like, I mean, that's like worse than keyboard.
Jake, you're sitting down with 4 film majors. Like, what did you expect?
Okay, listen. You can explain but away.
You're not going to nitpick the little seed becoming the big seed and... the original movie had so many bad things in it, and you're not gonna nitpick it.
No, I'm not, because that was so it pissed me off so like, I have no reason for it to piss me off that much, but it pissed me off. It's like, what? There was no point. You need a 2 liter because of product placement. Like, a 20-ounce bottle wouldn't have done the same thing, or even a can. Like, you have to use the big two liter. And she didn't even finish it. I understand that she wanted to stay away, but she didn't finish it. She spilled it all over the floor.
It was clear for a whatever image, I don't know what you film majors call it, but they wanted you to see like her just chugging it down, and then when it falls, they wanted that, you know, dramaticness of it.
But why did it have to be in the fridge? That's what's bothering me. She could have gotten out the shelf, but it was in the fridge.
When you first saw it, I did like, though, that like it was just the yellow green of Mountain Dew, but you couldn't see any labels, so you thought maybe like they didn't have the licensing or whatever for it, or they didn't, you know, pay for it. And then she pulls it out, and her hands are kind of blocking the Mountain Dew at first. And so I'm still thinking that, like, it's not product placement. And then they take a wide shot, or a medium shot of her drinking it, and all of a sudden the bottle had magically twisted, and then you saw Mountain Dew there. And I was like, okay.
And she dropped, like, a whole Pepsi.
I know, yeah. So Pepsi clearly paid for some sponsorship.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, if it doesn't make any sense... Like, if something tries to explain away something science-wise, and again, even if it makes zero sense, I'll forgive it, because at least they're trying. But when you have, when you're like, we're going to put these 2 liters in the fridge, I'm like, no, that's a step too far, sir. Yeah, I will not accept this.
There's something distinctly different about, like, the suspension of disbelief in the sci-fi aspect of the movie, and the, like, attempt to create a real-world environment that most of us see and experience on a relatively regular basis, and you just get it wrong.
Yeah,
exactly. That kind of thing stands out more because it's so familiar to us.
Well, it's like also how she's like going around DC, and like every single person she comes across that's not an alien recognizes that she's not an alien, and they're like, hey, you gotta have no emotion. They sense emotion, or you know, they if they know you're a human if you show emotion. And the one guy's like, you can't sweat. That's how they know you're a human. Sweat. They don't sweat. And it's like, why are all these people helping her? Yet they're getting caught themselves. Like, why is, like, the whole world, like, helping her? They don't know who she is. They don't know that she's going to, at the end, be the hero. Like, it just made no sense.
In the original movie, Donald Sutherland was hit by a car while he was filming a scene of him running. And then in the remake, Nicole Kidman was involved in an accident riding with a few other people in a car. It was mounted on a trailer. It was being towed by a camera rig, and basically it took a turn too wide, slid on some wet pavement, and crashed with a lighting standard, and a whole bunch of stunt people were injured in the accident. Apparently they forgot that yellow ones don't stop.
So if they ever remake this movie again, the main star is going to get in a some sort of accident with a vehicle.
Yeah. Right.
So what you're telling me is not only did they edit this film too fast, they also were filming their stunts too fast.
Yeah.
It was very fast and furious.
Looking back at the two movies, let's talk a bit more about what we liked and disliked about what was changed. Let's start with our favorite things they copied and our favorite things they changed. As they say, opinions are like Axe body spray. Nobody really likes it, but apparently it's here to stay. Jake, you're up first.
I did not like the original. I just thought it was a bad movie. I don't know. The second one, I liked the second one. I liked the remake.
Oh my gosh.
It was enjoyable. And I'm not just saying it to make you guys mad. I'm genuinely surprised at the hate that The Invasion gets. I think
Jake
deserves
is like a reverse Rotten Tomato.
Maybe. I don't get the hate getting.
He's a pod person.
He's been compromised.
I don't know. There's a lot of things in the original that I just find to be annoying. The screeching is annoying. They do it too much and too long. The fire at the end, dropping the light bulbs. Now, I know they're not LEDs and they're halogen bulbs and whatnot, but it's like he starts this big fire, but it really amounts to nothing. And it was never going to amount to anything. And I don't know. I didn't like the original. I enjoyed the new one, though.
I do like you say they scream too long and too loud. That's kids.
Yeah, that's probably why I hated didn't it. Like it.
Mike, why don't you tell me a little bit more about your opinions?
Well, shockingly, I disagree with Jake.
Say it isn't so.
No, yeah. The original, it's one of those movies where it's like, it comes up all the time, and I had never seen it. And for whatever weird reason, when I sat down to watch it, I think mentally my brain had prepared itself to watch Close Encounters. So when it started, I'm like, this is not what I was expecting. Oh, yeah, different movie. Like Rob was saying earlier, like there's just like the remake, there were just like little things all throughout it that were just not right. Like it was, I don't know. It was, you know, it was hard to watch. It's not really anything memorable, and like the original, I would totally go back and watch it again. And I say original, but obviously, you know, the first remake, I guess, technically. Whereas the 2007 one, it's like, yeah, no, I kind of wish I could get that time back. to be perfectly honest, like let's retroactively go talk about the original and the 1970s remake instead. Yeah, I also, yeah, I just, I think the 1970 version was just better all around. There was this, like, latent intensity throughout the whole thing. Like, the thing that I really liked about it is, like, you could see the threat building in the background throughout the entire movie. Like, it got a little bit frantic in, like, that stretch of, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but Donald Sutherland's character, like, on the phone calls, like, as things are, like, ramping up, like, that was a little bit jarring and hard to follow. I found it's at some points, but the, like, subtle, like, the far more subtle things in the background of, like, extras just staring at people, and some of the ways they shot some things, like when Donald Sutherland's character first appears and you see, like, the guy in the restaurant, like, looking, you see in the health inspector, like, outside, and he comes in and you get, like, a first person shot of him, like, walking up to the dude. And it was just like this, like, all throughout the movie, this weird, like, overarching, like, tension. And I don't think the remake had that, and it hurt the movie overall.
All right, speaking of hurt, Rob. You're not hurt.
I'm hurt.
So, tell me about your opinions, Rob.
Speaking of hurt, the 2007 movie hurt me. yeah, like I told Mike earlier, like we were talking about, that I felt like the editing in the 2007 version of the film is just really fast-paced, to the point where stuff at the beginning of the movie was edited quickly like an action movie, and scenes felt like they were cut short. And so whereas the 1978 movie is like a slow burn kind of at the beginning and then it ramps up, this movie starts like crazy, balls to the wall, like there's a ship blowing up in atmosphere and we're seeing all this stuff, CNN footage and crazy stuff and fast cuts. And then even when we get into the scenes with, you know, Nicole Kidman's character and her dynamic with her family, all of that feels like the space between interactions with characters at the beginning are cut short. And some of that I feel like is in service to a shorter runtime, because it runs like an hour and 40 minutes, which feels like that. It feels very short. Like they've scrunched a lot of content into a shorter movie. Whereas I feel like the 1978 version was able to, like, let it breathe, let moments go. We were able to get interactions with characters. And I understand, like, Jake's point of view of, like, the pod stuff at the very beginning doesn't make any sense, like, the logic of it. And I'm kind of able to give that a pass because I enjoyed the rest of what the 1978 movie did. Whereas with the 2007 version, it did a whole lot of work to explain what was happening and didn't give me anything compelling to care about the characters. But in the 1978 movie, I was very much cared about the four characters who were kind of on the run, and overwhelmed by what was, you know, by this invasion that was happening to them. So that was really it. It was too quick and fast, and it had a little bit of style, but it didn't feel like it had a lot of substance to me, this remake, the 2007 one.
All right. Well, Rob likes it to open up like a fine wine. Like a fine wine. Jess, you're up next.
I really like the original. I think that I don't understand the criticism of the pods. I think it's fine. And it was the 70s. 70s was a lawless time. You can't put standards on the
clearly
70s.
When a movie is in a PG movie.
Ooh.
But, you know, the remake was just... I will say that I did like a couple things they did in the remake. Like, I thought the beginning part where they're showing, like, the news clip of of the shuttle exploding and then like they're doing the interviews. It actually felt like real news footage. So I thought they did that really well. But then the rest was just so bad. And like I felt like it was like with Solo, where it's like, oh, we have to make this movie to explain all the things they didn't explain in the original one. Like at the, like I even watching Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and the like the little wispies were coming into space. And I even thought, like, how on earth did that make it through Earth's atmosphere without burning up? Like, it's a tiny little wispy thing. And they said in the remake about how it can withstand all this heat and stuff. And that's how it was able to make it through. And the heat wasn't going to destroy it and blah, blah, blah. Which is fine. But I feel like the rest was so bad that that doesn't, it's not redeeming at all. It's just really dumb. And even watching it back in 2007 when I probably had lower standards for on action movies, I was even like, back then, this is really bad.
All right, and finally rounding out here, Jakey, you'll be happy to know that I had you and me bookend these people because I like the remake too. So, self-high five.
I'm quitting this podcast. You guys are terrible.
I enjoyed the remake for all the reasons Rob hated it, I think.
The fast editing?
I liked the fast editing. Okay. I liked the short runtime. I liked that it was get in, get out. I liked that it had a happy ending. I liked that they tried to base it in some science, you know? And they tried to create a plausible explanation. For me, at the original, I did enjoy it too. I won't go so as far as say I hated it like Jake did, but I liked the remake better. Disliked. So yeah. I enjoyed the man dog. That's just fun to see classic in camera effects like that. I agree with you guys that the slow burn is fun. It's always fun to see a good story build up in the background. But it was kind of like a very slow burn for me, and I didn't like the hopeless ending, honestly. That was, like, just, I don't know. It's like you finish the movie, like, well, that sucks. And for me, that just kind of, like, it just sours the movie. Like,
I'm over here. Like, I wish more movies did that.
Well, I mean, and it's fine, but, like, I don't know. It's just the whole movie set up and you feel like it's going to end with them figuring it out or them defeating it or whatever. And then it's just like, no, it all sucks in the end. You're all dead. And it's like, well, okay, that's fine. But it just wasn't my cup of tea. You know, that's all. So, all right. Well, we'd like to take a minute to give the two movies our final ratings. Just a reminder, we're not rating the movies against each other, simply how they each stand on their own merits or rewards. Jake. New season, new Jake, new first up.
What?
All right. Well, I am going to give the original half man, half dog out of 5 dogs and 5 men. So I guess that's like a 1 out of 10.
I don't want to do the math on that.
Yeah.
I think Jake just did it for you. He said it was 1 out of 10.
Yeah. He's like a 1 out of 10, but he didn't hate it.
I want to cut that. I want to do that again.
Please. Please
Mark
do.
Mark me and Jakey.
Please do less fractions.
Brian's so already confused. Texting us in the group chat asking about math. We don't need it on the podcast.
He's already texting about Jake's fractions. So a half dog is equal to a half man. Fourth grade homework, guys. Sorry.
They both leave their station at 5:02 p.m.
I am going to say the first movie, the original movie, that's not really the original, I am going to give it a half dog and a half man out of 5 dogs and 5 men. And for the remake, I'm going to give it 3 shuttle disasters.
Does that mean it's bad then? Since it's a disaster.
No. I mean, you could take it as like 3 shuttle disasters out of 5. In this movie, this movie's universe, there's apparently 3 shuttle disasters. So, you know, because there's the first two and then this is the third. But
you're referring to it as a disaster.
But I feel like more disasters is bad. I could get this even more out of how many times the shuttles went up into the air. There was only three disasters. So I could also be saying all of the times that it successfully went, it was good.
To be clear, I'm going to make this 10 times more complicated.
Also,
new season, new me, new ratings, bitches.
I would like to note that that was the shuttle Patriot, which doesn't exist and didn't exist when Bush was in office. So who knows what that was.
All right, wait, Jake. So Andrew last season did his ratings on the pH scale. Are you doing your ratings this season on fractions?
I'm doing mine on whatever the fuck I want, Jess.
Wow.
All right. Well, that was spicy. So, Rob, let's get your rating.
Speaking of spicy, Rob, yeah, I would like to say that the remake, I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5 stars, and I will give the 1978 version 3.5 out of 5 stars.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Mike, tell me about that lemon.
Yeah. So I would have to say that the 1978, the original, as we're calling it for now, I would give that probably a 3.5 or 4 out of 5. I would definitely watch it again. And then the remake, like, that's just not my cup of tea. 2.5.
All right, and Jess, you're up next.
Well, if Jake liked Mike's ratings, he's gonna love mine, because I'm gonna give the original 4 mud baths out of 5. Mm. It actually seems pretty cozy. I actually kind of want to try it. That looks kind of nice, not gonna lie. It's very dirty, but I think that would be relaxing, and I want to try it. And for the remake, I'm going to give it 1 knockout punch to a child's face.
Speaking of dirty yet relaxing, Andrew.
Perfect.
Great. As soon as she said that, I was like, I have the segue.
We'll see how your character survives in D&D, Rob.
Well, you know, based on my past performance, the odds aren't good.
All right, well, thanks for joining us on this episode of Rebooted. Be sure to visit us online at www.rebooted.live to chat with us and our other fans of Rebooted. Join our Facebook group. Search for Rebooted Podcast on that book of faces. If you like what we're doing and you want to support us, check out our Patreon at www.patreon.com/andak. That's A-N-D-A-K. Or our online store at www.andak.media. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye!
Bye!
Bye! Bye.
Okay, Jake, I'll go to bed.
I just thought of that movie, that thing, the scene from Hail Caesar, where the kid was like, well, but it were, twerked it.
What?
But
would that twerk so simple?
But it were so simple.
Yeah, and then he was like, huh. All right, sorry. Never mind. Mark?
My niece will tell my mom. She'll be like, if my mom says something that my niece doesn't know, she'll be like, well, of course you knew that. You're born in the 1900s.
Oh. That's harsh.
I saw something recently on online, somebody referring to the late 20th century. And it's like, how long ago do you think that was?
Mike, you've lived more in the 2000s than you lived in the 1900s.
Oh, God.
I don't like that.
Watch Mike try to do math.
I don't like that.
Watch Mike get ready.
I do not like that. Like,
oh, it's true. So I know Jake has got an itch. Nope. Merc. So I know.
I don't want to know about his itch.
All right.
Mark.
The after credits is just going to be us laughing for 10 minutes.
This podcast was produced by Andak Media. Andak is dedicated to helping creatives find community and support for their creative passions. You can find more info about Andak Media at andak.us. That's andak.us. If you've enjoyed our content, you can offer support on Patreon at patreon.com/andak. We offer perks for all of our patrons, including exclusive podcast episodes, podcast episode polls, monthly AMAs, and exclusive patron-only merchandise. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day.